Oh, that's lovely. Hello, Stephen Mayne.
Hello, Lindy. That was good.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Would you have fallen for that if you had read that Google had somehow worked out a way to put something? I didn't think that were actually telling us the future, but their idea of what the future might be. I thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah, well, I mean, Google's this sort of unbelievable beast that can seemingly do anything. So I guess they were just taking the mickey out of that deception, wasn't it?
I thought it was lovely.
Very clever.
What is the major difference between Opus Prime and Optimus Prime?
Opus Prime has managed, without anyone really having heard of it,
yes,
to borrow almost $1.2 billion to punt on a whole bunch of companies that most people haven't heard of either.
With other people's money and telling them that once they've given them the money, you can't get it back. It's not your money anymore, it's ours.
That's right. The very, very, very fine print says that if something goes wrong, i.e. we lend maybe a couple of hundred million to a flamboyant Sydney criminal lawyer,
yes,
who has a few punts that don't work, mm-hmm, then we're all sharing the pain here.
Right. So, whereas Optimus Prime is a transformer figure, as we know. That is the major difference between the two. What did you make of this? Did you just end up shaking your head?
I did. I've been stunned. I mean, I've been margin lending for years, and I'd never heard of this practice. And I'll bet you, you know, London to a brick, that the vast majority of the 1,200 clients slash victims weren't aware of it either. But, I mean, the one saving grace in this is that the vast majority of those clients are actually millionaires. Like, the average loan was $800,000. The average investment was $1.6 million. Whole range of company directors and just prominent sort of players who do play in a more adventurous field of the market. But it's not your regular ma and pa who've been sold something dodgy by a dodgy financial planner. It's not that type of financial.
So those who have been caught up in this or have fallen over because of this have done so because they've actually been part of that risk taking themselves.
They've been looking for finance to get into stocks that most regular banks and brokers won't lend against. So, and that was the great offering that Opus Prime did. They said, we will lend on any stock on the whole stock market.
Mm.
And they could do that, or the banks could do that, because they knew that if one stock went bad, then it would be covered by the rest of the stocks, because it was a pooled collective investment. And that's what the individuals didn't realise.
See, the thing that I was so astonishing, and I guess, you know, we're sitting here comfortably with hindsight, but it looked like a disaster waiting to happen. Then, the way you've just described it.
Well, it did, but whoever said the market was going to fall by 25% in 4 months in the world's first global liquidity crunch? So, like everyone else, we were hit by the perfect storm, you name them, you know, Centro, MFS, Orco, ABC Learning, you know, the list is very long and illustrious. It is unprecedented, and therefore there are unprecedented collapses.
Although I can remember talking to you a year or 2 years ago when we were talking about how glowingly wonderful everything was, and you were saying this isn't going to last, that we've got to have some sort of a correction. But you're saying obviously that the correction has just gone far greater than anybody expected.
Far beyond what anyone ever thought. So, but I must admit the founder, a guy called Laurie Amini, is he's a Templestowe boy, and I'm a Templestowe boy, so I sort of popped out to his house this afternoon to have a look at it because... as Templestowe boys, we've produced a few interesting people over the years. I mean, you know, Fons Gangitano was taken out in his Templestowe home. Brian Quinn was jailed for the famous Colesmire mansion in Templestowe. So, you know, whenever someone pops up, you always like to check out where they are, particularly as I'd read in the press today that Laurie has given a $100 million personal guarantee to ANZ. Because when ANZ advanced him an additional $100 million before Easter, when things were looking a bit dicey. So I also did a title search this afternoon. Unfortunately, Laurie's had a mortgage with the ANZ since 1997. So if you've got a mortgage on a fairly modest Templestowe property, I don't think you're going to have a spare $100 million sitting around.
If you like the look of Templestowe property, Stephen, you might be able to get it for a knockdown price. What do you think?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a bit far out there.
Yeah, you've got to come closer. By the way,
you're a city boy now at heart, eh?
Well, I still live out there, actually.
Hendo, no one knows that you're here.
Oh.
You just snuck in.
Look,
can I introduce you now?
Savvy listeners will pick that up, I think.
That's right. Yeah. After 15 years in the lounge roof, or is it more?
That's a mean haircut you're sporting. It's very US Marines, mate.
Mm. Explain to Hendo what happened to you. Come on.
What I was in Brisbane doing a talk, and everyone was getting their heads shaved for the Leukemia Foundation, and so I agreed to do it as well. So
good lad.
Frightened my children.
Yep.
So.
Did it work?
Yes, they were terrified. And all sorts of people have been saying, you know, you look like a prisoner of war.
Or a prisoner.
Yeah.
Yes. Very savage. Which is always lovely. Stephen, an SMS. Can you ask Stephen what will happen to the Austin Group? They think that they are tied up with it. I'm assuming they mean Opus Prime. My mum has shares in them and she ain't rich.
Yes, a Geelong-based retailer or sort of a clothing manufacturer. One of the investment companies associated with the Opus directors owns close to 50% of the stock. So they were having a shareholders meeting yesterday to approve the issuance of some new shares to this Opus-related vehicle, and they had to cancel that. So basically, half the company's for sale now, and so that's a lot of shares in the company, so the share price is under pressure, and a buyer being sought.
Okay.
So and there's like a dozen different stories like that out
around
there.
The place, yes,
stocks
indeed.
Getting suspended and pretty messy.
Now, we wanted to clear something up from a couple of weeks ago.
I did. I said 2 weeks ago that the US government had $7 trillion of debt, and this was because they've been running a budget surplus of 2.2% of GDP for the last 40 years. And obviously, I meant to say a budget deficit.
Because that's what confused so many people,
yes.
Including me, which is why I ended up asking you, how can you be in debt and still run a surplus?
And I hadn't realised my own literal, and so I was going, well, you know. But I ran. They got some numbers to back this up. When Bill Clinton took office in 1993, the deficit was running at $290 billion, and the debt was $4.2 trillion, or $4,200 billion. When Clinton left office, the debt had risen by a trillion to $5.2 trillion, but at least Bill had it going the right way. Mm-hmm. They were in surplus to the tune of $129 billion. So it was the Democrat turns around the big budget deficit left by the supposedly more
fiscally
financially competent Republican. And George Bush is going to leave a $500 billion a year annual deficit and a total debt at $9.2 trillion, which obviously is the world's biggest debt pile. So America is
proud.
Careering into debt at unprecedented pace.
Yes. Are we following them?
Well, based on Four Corners last night, it's pretty messy.
So, pretty messy.
$1 trillion of household debt and 12 interest rate rises in a row and house prices, particularly in Western Sydney, turning down and a banking sector which has risen, or financial services sector, which has risen to be at the peak 42% of our stock market. And that just says that our financial sector has been making an absolute fortune. And the biggest single factor in that, or there's been two big factors, has been the massive growth in loans and the huge fees that they've been able to whack on that. And when you're making, when you're a big four banks and you're making $25 billion a year, it's coming from someone. And there's a lot of people out there in stress who those profits are coming from. And you overlay on that the, you know, second highest official interest rates in the developed world at the moment, which are just crazy, these high interest rates. And it's no wonder Four Corners is doing a million people watched that last night, so it really, which is a very high audience for Four Corners, so it really hit a button about
rightly so. And you were nodding before the Reserve Bank decided to keep things on an even keel. Is that it, do you think?
Big change of the language today in the statement, use of the word fragile about the financial system, talking about moderating demand. I think they're almost accepting they've gone too far, and rates will definitely be falling before the end of the year, which is a not before time because it's ridiculous that they're so high.
Derek.
Stephen, who does America owe trillions of dollars to?
Well, Chinese government is one of the biggest investments, biggest investors, Japanese, and the Japanese government and Japanese citizens. So Asian countries are the single biggest component, both government and private, plus their own citizens. I mean, that's the whole story of America. It's private and corporate wealth lending money to the government. And this, as long as they've got the General Electrics and the Googles and the, you know, the Exxon Mobils going on, and thousands of billionaires, then they will always invest in government bonds over there, and they'll always be able to hand over more taxes if there's a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for Asian manufacturers to make sure that the American market continues, otherwise there's nowhere for them to sell their product.
Well, that's been the great irony, is that the Japanese government, sorry, the Chinese government in particular, have been the biggest new investor in American bonds, and it's the American consumer which sucks in the most amount of Chinese exports. Mm. So the American consumer is 20% of the world. So the Walmart Chinese play, cheap Chinese goods into Americans funded by Chinese loans, is what's been happening.
Again, another reason for the Martians to be laughing.
Well, I think it sounds like an April Fool's Day joke. If it weren't so frightening, it would be really, really funny.
That's right.
It's very scary, though. Mm.